Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the news of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have everyone here, especially my extremely attractive audio engineer. Yes, I want to start with some international news. International news, yes, yes. We're going to go over to China. I never knew that there was a military world games. I had never heard of that. Never heard of it. Didn't know about it. But apparently, there is a military world games where members of various nations, military, compete against each other in various games. One of them is called Orienteering. You familiar with that one, Orienteering? Well, it's a combination of long-distance running and pathfinding. Contestants navigate across difficult terrain as quickly as possible using a map and a compass. They have to hit a series of control points along the way. Sounds interesting. Orienteering, it's called. Well, the most recent the International Orienteering Federation, at their most recent competition, the Chinese team took a number of top spots. Including men's and women's orienteering at the Military World Games, which happened to be held in Wuhan, China, as a matter of fact. Now, after the competition, after the Chinese crushing victory, administrators discovered that the Chinese athletes were illegally aided by spectators, markings, and small paths prepared for them on their home turf in Wuhan. Wuhan, China. Mm-hmm. And so their victorious results were annulled. Annulled after complaints from other teams. They were stripped of their medals, so to speak. Yes, China, according to Breitbart, China was hosting the Military World Games for the first time. And the opening ceremony was even presided over by the Chinese Communist Party leader Xi Jinping. Also known as Winnie the Xi Jinping. Oh, how does that go? They wear the Winnie the Pooh masks. I have to look that up. Anyway. So, that's right. That's right. China's entire national orienteering team was kicked out of the Military World Games because they were caught cheating. And now, listen to this. Chinese athletes, by the way, have recently been caught taking shortcuts and using bicycles in marathon races. Yeah. Three Chinese runners are banned for life from the Boston Marathon, along with Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Rob Gronkowski. All of them out for life. Banned. Yeah. Now, I think the Chinese are going to host the Olympics in, is it next year? I think the Chinese are slated to host the Olympics sometime in the not-too-distant future. Yeah, we'll have to keep our eye on them, see if they're cheating. Yeah, see if they hire Bill Belichick as their Olympic team coach. Right? All right, I guess I could get off Belichick. No one would ever cheat in the Olympic Games. No way. Hey, speaking of games, the other night, my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, we were watching the World Series of baseball, but just because there was really just nothing else on. So we ended up watching the World Series. And then the game was so boring that at one point we started hopping, switching channels, and we ended up on the Denver Nuggets versus the Phoenix Suns, a basketball game, which we haven't watched a basketball game since Dikembe Mutombo retired. I don't think we've watched a game since Dikembe Mutombo. So anyway, we're watching the Nuggets against the Phoenix Suns, almost like a car accident. You just can't take your eyes off it because It looked like a battle between Shias and Sunnis somewhere in northern Syria, with a couple of Kazakh and Azerbaijani bombers right up there on the free throw line. And again, some Russians were involved, right? I mean, do any Americans even play basketball anymore? Maybe now I understand a little bit more why the NBA kowtows to the Chinese, because it's not really an American league anymore, at least outward appearances. So anyway, are we going to watch the rest of the World Series? Probably now. Yes. Probably watch the rest of it.
Only from the 17th.
Yeah, but that's it. The secret to the watching a World Series and actually enjoying yourself is you want to start after the seventh inning stretch. That's all. Because who can take that for that long? I mean, that game last night, it just went on and on and on and on and on forever. And nobody was scoring ever anything. Anyway, okay, but so anyway, we go from there. We're going to jump right into the Sens Really file, where the Guardian is reporting on a policy brief that was published by Monica DeBall, a senior fellow, I said, at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. At the Peterson Institute, it sounds like they just made that up. How long has the Peterson Institute for International Economics been around? Like 25 minutes? I never heard of it. Well, anyway, they've published a policy brief, and they say that deforestation, coupled with the destructive policies of Brazil's far-right president, Jair Bolsonaro, could push the Amazon rainforest to an irreversible tipping point within 2 years. That's right, the Amazon destroyed. Permanent tipping point. No, there's no way back within a couple of years. And why? Because they elected a guy that leftists perceive as a conservative. Bolsonaro has been called Brazil's Donald Trump, basically. And so they hate him. Anyway, they say this prominent economist, Monica DeBall, who I never heard of, at the prominent Peterson Institute, which I never heard of it. Anyway, that's what she says. After this point, she says, the rainforest would stop producing enough rain to sustain itself and start slowly degrading into a drier savanna, releasing billions of tons of carbon into the atmosphere, which would exacerbate global heating and disrupt weather. Yes, turning point. There's no return within 2 years if we don't get Trump and Bolsonaro out of office. Who would have thought that two guys could destroy an entire planet? But they're on the verge. Okay. Do I have anything else from that? I don't really have anything else. Oh. She wants money, of course. She wants to revive a resolution that made rural credit financed by public banks dependent on lenders proving that they complied with environmental and other laws. That's right. Before you could borrow any money to do anything in Brazil, you would have to prove that you're not destroying the Amazon. But all you'd have to do is show your ID. If you're not Jair Bolsonaro, then there, you get the loan. You're not destroying the Amazon because we know that he's the one who's doing it. With the help of Donald Trump, I'm sure, behind the scenes. All right. That's it. Now we're going to go over to China. This is from the Hard Religion file. The Chinese authorities this past week actually began the demolition of a Christian church while the congregation was inside the church worshiping. That's when they brought in the bulldozers, and they started bulldozing a church while the people were in it. By the way, the church's pastors were also arrested and detained. Who is this? CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. You could have just said arrested or detained, either one. In fact, arrested pretty much implies detained, I think. Every time I've been arrested, I've found myself detained. That's for sure. Oh, well, CBN, probably second string type writers here. Anyway, this all happened last weekend. It was reported by the human rights organization China Aid, led by Bob Fu, who I have interviewed on the radio, by the way. Both pastors, according to Bob Fu, were detained on the charge of suspicion of, quote, gathering a crowd to disturb social order. Mm-hmm. Gathering a crowd to disturb social order is the charge against these two Christian pastors. And by the way, the one of the things that's surprising about this, and one of the reasons people are concerned more about this particular incident maybe than others in the past, is that this particular church is a part of the Communist Party's officially recognized church network. So it's a communist, it's a red Chinese commie church, proof, right? And so the red commie Chinese are coming down now even on their own approved churches who have been towing the Communist Party line, but maybe behind the scenes they're not. That's probably what's going on here. Is that the, and by the way, I believe these pastors are definitely guilty of gathering a crowd to disturb social order in China. I'll guarantee you they're guilty of that. Of course, that's not a crime in China. In fact, it's the Chinese Communist government that's guilty of a crime of kidnapping. The minute they arrested these two pastors who were attempting to disturb the social order of a criminal organization that's taken a couple of billion people hostage. Probably more than 2 billion people have been held. How long they've been in power there? 70 years? A couple of billion people have been kidnapped by these criminals. Bob Fu says the Communist Party's own constitution tells the whole world that President Xi is determined to continue his war against the peaceful Christian faithful. And Bob Fu says this campaign will surely fail in the end. Amen, brother. It will fail. That's right. The truth will win out over the communist, lying, thieving, murderous dictators in China. Let's see. CBN goes on to report that the Communist Party leader Xi Jinping, Winnie the Xi Jinping, has ordered that all religions must sinicize to ensure they are loyal to the officially atheistic party. Now, that's a pretty tough balancing act if you're a Christian to toe the official atheist party line. I mean, I know a lot of American families do it when they send their kids to the government schools every day. But I mean, I'm talking about if you're actually a Christian. Oh, and I'm sure the Americans who feed their children into the officially atheist public schools, I'm sure they're actually Christians. They're just deceived and they're weak and well, all of that. Anyway, I tell you, when it comes to China, this war that Xi Jinping has declared on Jesus Christ, this will be the downfall of China, not the United States. I mean, we made a deal with China for like cheap sneakers and underwear decades ago. We're not going to be their downfall. In fact, we're the main reason they're so powerful, is all the money we give them for the cheap sneakers and the underwear. But this war on Jesus Christ will be the downfall of Xi Jinping. So mark my words, it will happen. There we go. Okay, goodbye, Z. Winnie the Xi Jinping. All right. Meanwhile, from the Brave New World file, this is disturbing stuff. Fox News is reporting that there has been about a year of study done by a 7-person China Tribunal pattern. I'm sorry, a China Tribunal panel. This panel was initiated by the International Coalition to End Transplant Abuse in China. And this 7-person group, after about a year of study, has stated with certainty that in China, forced organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience has been practiced for a substantial period of time. That's right. Falun Gong practitioners are the main source of organ supply. And how does the group determine that this is so? Well, the report underscored that there were extraordinarily short waiting times for organs to be available for transplantation and numerous websites that advertise hearts, lungs, and kidneys for sale, suggesting that an on-demand industry exists, which means the Chinese are harvesting organs and stockpiling them. Which is pretty scary stuff. Pretty scary stuff. And they go on to say that some of these Falun Gong and Uyghurs are having their organs harvested while they're still alive. Because apparently that gets you the best quality organ. And so that's who our governing officials are negotiating with right now to make a trade deal with so that we can lower the price on the cheap sneakers and the underwear. And who knows? Maybe they'll throw in livers and kidneys, and maybe Donald Trump will find a way to make a deal for those two and make a deal better for America. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Have you seen the live version of that? She holds that note for like a minute and a half. It's pretty good. I know, she's a freak. I understand all that. I knew back then she was kind of freaky, but all right. So there we go. We're going to go from dealing in bodily organs and sneakers with criminal regimes who kidnap and billions of people and murder millions of them. We're going to go to there, from there to the Russia, Turkey, Syria, that whole thing. So I was, I must admit that when Donald Trump announced that he was withdrawing service members from Syria, I didn't really know how many were there. I knew there were not enough there to be doing anything the way I would have done it. And I remember being against sending any American forces into Syria to fight alongside one group of Islamists, socialist Islamic maniacs against another. That was just never a good idea in my book. And everyone's freaking out. Everyone was freaking out. In fact, we'll go to the dumb religion file. The dumb religion file where the ever reliable Pat Robertson opened his mouth. And every time he opens his yap, you can bet something dumb is going to come out. Except that he does preach the gospel once in a while. I will admit that. So every once in a while, he stumbles backwards into preaching the gospel, so there. But this is one of the stupidest people on the face of the planet. And he says that Donald Trump's withdrawal from Syria, he compares it to Neville Chamberlain's appeasement of Adolf Hitler. And he's predicting a war over this. Pat, there's already a war, okay? You can't predict a war, Pat. There's already a war going on. Genius. He's a bright fellow. Not too much. Anyway, he says the Kurds, here's what Pat Robertson says. The Kurds have the best army to defend freedom in the Middle East. Okay, so Pat, you're just a moron, okay? The Kurds are a bunch of socialist, Islamic, would-be terrorists if they ever got a state. It would just be a matter of time, Pat, before the Kurds became our enemy. The only reason they are our friends is because they want us to help them get a state from which they will become a socialist Islamist state, not all that much unlike Syria or Turkey. And that's just what we need. One more Islamic state. Thank you very much. All right. So anyway, if I'm Donald Trump, I probably would have done things differently. But I have to admit that it's probably going to end up being okay. And it might end up being the best way to have... It may have been the right thing to do. I'll just put it that way. He may not have done it exactly the way I would have done it. But, of course, I would have never been there. But Donald Trump didn't put us there. Barack Obama did. When he broke the Middle East. I think on purpose. I think Barack Obama broke the Middle East on purpose. Why? I think just to take the West down a notch, to increase social tension and suffering so that he could take the West down a notch. That's what I think. Well, anyway, let's go to Beirut. I don't know why we're going to Beirut, but that's where the French Press Association reports from. And they say that a Turkish-Russian deal that basically carves up northeastern Syria sounds like the end of the Kurds' hope for a state. That's all. Syria's Kurds had hoped that the international community would help them achieve autonomy in their own state, and that's not going to happen, at least not right now. Kurdish forces controlled close to a third of Syria 2 weeks ago, and they've lost nearly everything, according to the AFP. They've been driven out by the Turks, and now they'll be kept out by the Russians. And they'll probably fight some sort of low-level guerrilla war for the next 50 years. It's probably what's going to happen. Well, here's the thing about the Kurds. Note to Kurdistan. Oh, no, there is no Kurdistan. I'm sorry. Note to the Kurds. Worshipping a false god for 1,000 years often makes your people subject to the whims of others. The reason you don't have a state, part of the reason, is because you worship a false god. And it's just not healthy. You're not as strong as you could be if you became Christian. If you became Christian, you could probably achieve a state again. Because you'd more than likely, you'd be stronger than all of the pathetic Muslim states that would be surrounding you. And you'd be able to achieve a state. But now you're just an also-ran band of socialist Muslims. And that's how you end up. That's all. I guess maybe if I had served at the time and fought alongside brave Kurdish fighters, I probably would have a different opinion. But this is my opinion as of right now. All right. Now, speaking of Adolf Hitler, was I speaking of Adolf Hitler? Oh, that was Pat Robertson from... Pat Robertson compared, I don't know, I guess he's comparing Erdogan to Adolf Hitler, I guess. Anyway, but this is really Hitler-like here. Abu al-Baghdadi, I can't say his name. He's got way too many vowels in his name. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the self-proclaimed leader of the Islamic State, was killed. Actually, he killed himself. So it sounds like American forces and canines chased this evil bastard into a tunnel that, the tunnel wasn't finished. There was no way out. And when Baghdadi got to the end of the tunnel, it looks like he detonated his suicide vest, killing himself. But guess what? This bastard dragged three of his own children into the tunnel with him. He drug his own kids in as a human shield and ends up blowing up his own children. Now, that's very Adolf Hitler-like. What an evil, evil guy. Wow. Anyway, it's very good that he's dead. But speaking of it's very good that he's dead, John Conyers. John Conyers, the longest-serving member of Congress who, I think he retired or got thrown in jail. I forget how his career ended. It ended badly. It's fairly embarrassing for John. Anyway, John Conyers has been term limited off of the earth. So yet another baby-killing, lying thief is dead. This man, John Conyers, presided over, along with others in the Congress, presided over the near-utter destruction of what was the greatest nation on the face of the earth. That is John Conyers' legacy. And by the way, John Conyers participated in the funding of the murder of over 60 million actual people. I mean, he makes Adolf Hitler look like a piker. I mean, forget Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. How many people did he kill? I think the estimates are 30,000. Baghdadi's got nothing on John Conyers. John Conyers funded the murder of over 60 million people. Anyway, speaking of Hitler-like... Actually, anyway, we're glad that John Conyers is dead. We're also glad that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead. But we feel bad for Baghdadi's children, although probably the only chance they had of going to heaven was to die young. Because he would have raised them to be as evil as he was, I'm sure. Well, it doesn't say how old the kids were. They could be grown. That could be. Well, we'll have to find out on that one. All right, but John Conyers definitely in hell, roasting right now on a spit. A well-deserved roasting for John Conyers. Baby killer, liar, and thief. That's what they should put on his. Headstone. All right. And so, yeah, the Kurds. I'm really sorry. I feel really bad for the Kurds. Actually, I don't really feel all that bad for them. Okay. Meanwhile, speaking of Donald J. Trump, so I predicted this would happen, and now I'm going to report on it because there's a certain level of satisfaction one gets in knowing that one is right and being proven right. Do you all remember when, I can't remember which slutty little pop star it was who went to the White House and talked to Donald Trump about criminal justice reform. I forget who it was, but some little scantily clad slutty pop star actually walked into the Oval Office. I'm sure Melania had to be held back. They probably had, the Secret Service probably had to grab her and hold onto her, that little slut coming into Donald Trump's office. I mean, she knows his history, okay? So anyway, that little slut goes in there, and she talks to Donald Trump about criminal justice reform, and I guess she somehow bamboozled Trump into thinking that if he did something like this, that the people on the left would like him, and that, I guess that black people would vote for him. I don't know. So, or maybe he just wanted to be alone with her. I have no idea why he did it, but he did it. He ended up signing into effect this, what they call the First Step Act. This was the First Step Act that Trump basically told us, and Mike Pence, by the way, they basically told us this is going to be for low-level nonviolent offenders so that they can be released from the prison system to try to make things more fair. I don't even know what Mike Pence sounds like. I don't know that I've ever even heard him speak. Well, I know I did hear him speak when he talked about this. Anyway, he's a very nondescript, very empty suit, a vacuous human being. There's very little there with Mike Pence. But I remember the both of them. The both of them signing this proudly with, surrounded by a bunch of slutty little pop stars and other derelicts. Anyway. So anyway, I said at the time, this is going to get someone killed directly. Someone they release is going to murder someone else. That was my prediction. And now we have Joel Francisco. Yeah, that's right. Joel Francisco was released from prison in February after Donald Trump signed this Criminal Justice Reform Act. Less than 2 weeks after Donald Trump signed the First Step Act into law, Joel Francisco and his lawyers asked for a sentencing reduction. And so Judge John J. McConnell and public defender Olin Thompson agreed to release Francisco. Oh, and Donald J. Trump, by the way. And Mike Pence. They agreed to release Joel Francisco on time served. Well, earlier this month, he fatally stabbed a man in a bar, and was arrested in a motel in New Braunfels, Texas. He stabbed the fellow in Providence, Rhode Island. This fellow, Joel Francisco, low-level, nonviolent offender, right? Well, he was a convicted crack dealer and former gang leader. Uh-huh, and now he fatally stabbed Troy Pine of Providence, Rhode Island. Francisco was the leader of the Almighty Latin Kings gang. In 2005, he had been sentenced to life in prison for dealing crack cocaine. But Donald J. Trump, Mike Pence, Judge John J. McConnell, and public defender Olin Thompson let him out of prison, so they should all be held accountable for this murder. Because if it weren't for what they did, this fellow would not have been killed. So they have blood on their hands. They're guilty. And this fellow, dealing crack cocaine, being the leader of the Latin Kings, that's a pretty notorious gang. In my book, that is a death penalty offense. That's right. If you're caught with enough drugs to kill someone, you should be killed. So this this Joel Francisco should have been put to death, but instead, the death penalty he deserved was simply turned around and redirected on the general public, and in this case, personally, to Troy Pine. Your host, Doug McBurney. What was that now?
I was talking too much.
Oh, that's all right. And we're back. That's right. Yes. Welcome back. And so what do you think the sentence for Joel Francisco will be now that he fatally stabbed Troy Pine there in Providence? But maybe the new sentence will be life. Oh, wait, that's what he got last time. And you know what life in prison means. That means there's a good chance you'll probably get out at some point.
Maybe after 3 years.
That's right. It'll be life, maybe 3 life terms. That's maybe that's what he'll get.
And
one thing he, right, plus 18 months. One thing he will not get is the death penalty. That's the one thing I guarantee you, this man will not get the death penalty there in Rhode Island. And so then the state of Rhode Island will bear some responsibility in Joel Francisco's crimes. All right. Thank you, Mr. Pence and Mr. Trump and whoever that slutty little, I don't even know who it was, some pop singer, literally struts into the Oval Office and gets Donald Trump to start letting people out of prisons. Unbelievable. All right. Now, speaking of unbelievable, this was quite shocking to see. A drug cartel basically defeat the Mexican military in a battle. The Federalist reports that the Mexican state is disintegrating. That's right. I watched some of this video and it wow. This was in the city of Culiacan, the capital of Sinaloa state. A battle erupted between government forces and cartel gunmen after the Mexican military captured the sons of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. That's right. The older son, Ivan, was quickly freed. Was quickly freed by the government, the Mexican military, because basically the cartel men overpowered government forces and secured his release. Ivan, the older brother, then launched a battle, basically an all-out siege of the entire city in an effort to free his younger brother, Ovidio, El Chapo Guzman. Oh, no, I think they're El Chapo's not really part of their name. Anyway, so here come the cartel members armed with military-grade weapons, driving custom-built armored vehicles. launching more than a dozen separate attacks on Mexican security forces. They captured 8 soldiers and then went and kidnapped the soldiers' families. And then amid the fighting, an unknown number of inmates escaped from a nearby prison. At least 8 people were killed and more than a dozen wounded. The battle lasted 8 hours, and it ended when government forces found themselves outgunned and surrounded with no reinforcements on the way. How does that happen? This is the Mexican army. What do you mean there's no reinforcements? Anyway, there you have it. So they had no reinforcements, and they had no way of escape. They couldn't retreat either. So an order went out directly from the Mexican president to release the prisoner, to release Ovidio El Chapo Guzman. And it, the order went out to release Guzman and surrender to the Sinaloa cartel. Pretty shocking. Anyway, the Federalist reports that the Battle of Culiacan marks a turning point in the collapse of the Mexican state. There's now no doubt who is in control of Sinaloa, let alone the rest of the country. Cartel forces basically seized a major regional capital city in broad daylight and then defeated the National Armed Forces in open battle right there in the streets. And people shot video of it, too. The video's all over online. I mean, it really does. It looks like a... Anyway, it looks like a genuine military battle. That's from the war file as we catalog the collapse of yet another Western state. This one being Mexico. All right. Meanwhile, from the urinalism file, this was going to be from the war file, but I changed it to the urinalism file after I read some of the details. This is from Greenville, Texas. This is an Associated Press report. A gunman opened fire at a college party in Texas. 2 people are dead and 14 are injured. The man who shot these people escaped. And at last, the last we know anyway, he's still at large. And then the AP reports the authorities have not found the gun that was used. Okay. All right. Well, they haven't found the man either. Why would you even mention that they haven't found the gun that was used? What difference does it make what gun was used? We want to find the guy who did it. All right, but that's modern day urinalism over there at the Associated Press for you. Yeah, all right, get out of here with that. The gun is still at large, apparently. All right. And now from the complete and total insanity file. We got a report here from LifeSite News, and I'm hoping this could be the story that turns the tide against this suicidal slide into transgenderism. Transgenderism being one of the most insane things anyone can ever think about or let alone participate or do or allow anyone else to participate in. It's complete insanity. And this past week, LifeSite News reports that a jury in Dallas, Texas, ruled against Jeffrey Younger, a father trying to protect his 7-year-old son from his mother. Jeffrey Younger's ex-wife answered in open court that, yes, she wants to cut the penis off a 7-year-old boy. She actually said that in open court. So the father and mother are divorced, unfortunately. And the father is trying to stop the mother from, well, it all starts with what's called chemical castration. And then it goes on to gender transition at some point, which there's a scalpel involved. And so the jury sat there and heard that and found for the mother. The jury ruled against the father. And so the initial ruling meant that Dr. Ann Georgulis, I think it's Georgulis, is going to be able to continue transitioning young James into a girl she calls Luna, which I think Luna means insane, doesn't it? Oh, I think it means the moon. Anyway, I think it's a root of some sort of insanity word. I have to look that one up. Get the crack staff on that. Have our Have Nicole look into this. She's pretty good with Spanish. Luna.
Luna isn't Spanish, is it?
Luna. I think it's Spanish for the moon, I think. And the moon is associated with madness. This is definitely madness. So what's maddening about this? Number one is that a mother would do this to her son. That defies my ability to comprehend. And how she hasn't been arrested for doing this. I can't even comprehend that. But that a jury would sit and hear this and then find for the mother. It's just shocking to me.
It's
the moon in Latin. I think in Spanish too. There was a guy on our football team named Lenny Luna, and he was Mexican, I'm telling you.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, he was crazy. No, I shouldn't say that. I don't really remember him. I just remember that name. Lenny Luna. Rolls off the lips easily. There, Luna, oh, a goddess. Oh, here we go. In ancient Roman religion myth, Luna is the divine embodiment of the moon. Presented as a female complement of the sun god, Sol. All right. So this woman's obviously a maniac. Some sort of retro-pagan maniac transitioning her son James, a fine Christian name, by the way, into a pagan god, Luna. Oh, my goodness. All right. So the jury, according to LifeSite News, the jury decided not to grant Mr. Younger sole managing conservatorship over his two twin boys. And then Judge Kim read a ruling later in the week that says that Mr. Younger can participate in the transition. So did you get this? Is this not just complete and utter insanity? So a father files suit to stop a mother from dismembering, I shouldn't say dismembering, disfiguring a child. The father obviously does not want to participate. He doesn't want to have input in the transition. His input would be, don't transition, don't mutilate my son. That would be his input. No, stop. But the judge ruled. So first, the judge rules that the mother can go ahead and continue and even get to the point of actual mutilating the boy. And then she rules that the father can have input on the mutilation. It's just complete and utter insanity. Dr. Georgilis brought the lawsuit against the father because he was going to try to stop her from doing this. So she sued so that she could go forward with it. She was also asking the judge to forbid the father from calling the son James, and that he should be prohibited from bringing James around people who do not affirm that James is a girl. I really appreciate the fact that LifeSite News, even though this mother wants the child called Luna and insists, even now there's a judge's order saying this is the way things are going to be, LifeSite News keeps calling the boy James. Thank you. That is journalism. Journalism means you're connected to objective reality and you're not willing to go along with utter madness just to be politically correct. And the reporters at LifeSite News apparently are not going to go along. So this could be the one. Maybe there is not going to be one. Maybe the slide into insanity, maybe there's too much momentum down that embankment that there's no way back. I mean, I don't think so. I think eventually these insane, crazy, maniacal leftists are going to overplay their hand. LifeSite News ends the article. Currently, there aren't any U.S. laws that restrict the use of puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones or outline a minimum age of administration. And you know why there aren't any laws? Because none of us ever thought things would get so insane that we'd have to make up rules that you can't transition children into I don't even know what to call it. Nobody ever thought it would come to this. Who would have ever thought we would have needed a law? Who would have ever even thought it? But here we are. Anyway, folks, mental illness combined with divorce and hatred, they're all combined in this story. And now you've got mental illness coupled with divorce and hatred combined into a new expression of insanity. This is above and beyond any type of insanity anyone could have ever predicted. And we've got courts ruling in favor of people who want to mutilate children instead of arresting them. It's insane. Doug McBurney. You know, there was a poll that came out this past week. The poll found that 70% of Americans believe a civil war is imminent. 70%. Now, I don't know about the scientific accuracy of the poll, but I'm here to tell you that you leftist maniacs, you've murdered 60 million innocent people. And if now, if you're going to tell me now you're going to start drugging and mutilating children, well, I'm telling you, this is not going to end well. I'm not going to predict civil war, but there's going to be civil something serious if you're going to start drugging and mutilating children. And if you expect a man like me to sit down and not take physical action over something like that, you've got me all wrong. If I'm this father, there's no way I'm physically restrained. They would have to put me in jail. There's no way you would physically stop me from physically stopping that person from drugging and mutilating my son. It would come down to physical violence. Yes, absolutely. Physical violence.
Why did he say that earlier?
Well, see, this is what divorce does. It makes things all wrong and messed up. That's why the father... Anyway, seriously, if someone tells me they're going to drug and mutilate any child, whether it's my child, your child, physical violence will be exercised by me upon them to stop them. All right. Now I'm really upset. And I think physical violence is absolutely justified. In fact, it's absolutely necessary. If someone's going to drug and mutilate a child... All right, now, let's go. We just keep going into the trans new world. The Big Sky Conference, which is a college conference up there in Montana, has named their runner, the female athlete of the week. It's a runner named June Eastwood. June is a runner, okay. So you know where the story's going, right? Of course. June finished in second place in a field of 204 runners at the Santa Clara Bronco Invitational, and helped Montana place seventh. Eastwood previously competed on the University of Montana's men's team, but now June competes on the women's team, and he came in second. That you can tell why he's not competing on the men's team anymore. He finished second competing against the girls. All right. Let's see, what's June's actual name is Jonathan. Jonathan Eastwood, let's see here. Jonathan Eastwood is handicapped because he's living in an insane world. He was probably raised by insane, maniacal leftists. This is Montana, for crying out loud. Yeah. It's Montana. San Frantana. for crying out loud. The University of Montana does not even note that the conference has male and female categories. Nope. In fact, they simply call Jonathan Eastwood Big Sky Conference Athlete of the Week. They no longer. Eastwood beat San Diego State University's Jenny Sandoval, who also appears to be a biological, it says woman. I think this is probably another example of urinalism that slipped by me. I think they meant to say Jenny from SDSU is also a boy, is what I think they meant to say. So they got two trannies. Oh, just unbelievable. Eastwood mentioned having 4 years of college distance running under their belt. That's his preferred pronoun, is there now. He competed as a male as recently as December 2017 when Jonathan Eastwood won a race as a boy. All right, it's just insanity. So, folks, this is, I mean, please, with the transgenderism, and this is just beyond the pale. I'm telling you, this is probably a bridge too far, even for liberals. The whole transgendered thing, this is what I hope collapses the whole leftist edifice. All right, meanwhile, in this strange new world file, who do we have here? Rachel McKinnon. She's a human rights activist for transgender athletes. Yeah, if there is such a thing. She defended the... No, wait a second here. I'm sorry, Rachel McKinnon is another one of these tranny athletes. I'm sorry. She defended her sprint title at the Masters Track World in Manchester, England, where she competed against girls. Rachel's actually a boy. And I don't know what Rachel's actual name is, so I'm just going to call it McKinnon, because I'm not going to use a female name for a boy. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to play along. And you leftists better watch out, because we're not going to play along with this forever and make nice about it. McKinnon defended his sprint title at the Masters Track Worlds, right? He says there's a stereotype. Rachel says, quote, there's a stereotype that men are always stronger than women, so people think there's an unfair advantage. Well, but by preventing trans women from competing, you're denying their human rights. All right. McKinnon was born a biological male, but insists all her medical records say female. Her doctor treats her as a female. Her racing license says female. But, he says, people who oppose his existence still want to think of it as a male. All right. Well, I'm sorry, McKinnon. You are a male. You can think whatever you want in your twisted, bizarre mind, but that doesn't change the reality that you're a boy. And that's why you won the race. That's the main reason, is because you're a boy. So listen to this. Now, here's something I did not know. In 2015, the racing officials around the world in lockstep stepped into madness. They stepped across the line that separates the sane from the insane, and they actually made rules about tranny athletes. And so the rules were all around testosterone levels, right? So these insane people started making insane rules about something that's completely crackers. In order for a boy to qualify as a girl, athletes must have an average testosterone level below 10 nanometers per liter for at least a year. Okay, that's the rule, okay? So 10 nanometers, 10 I said. I'm sorry, did I say nanometers? It can't be. I don't know what this means. 10 mol. Nano milliliters. I don't know. Anyway, bottom line, folks, they're saying that if a boy wants to say he's a girl, the testosterone has to be below 10, okay? That's their rule that the insane people made. Well, the average range for adult females is 0.52 to 2.8. And the boys who are calling themselves girls are allowed to be at 10. Oh. Really? Does it go up to 11? for crying out loud. So, by the way, 3 is considered the upper end of a normal female. 3. And the boys who are calling themselves girls are allowed to come in at 10. So you're telling me there's not a... Well, obviously there's an unfair advantage in sports, but I want to stick with the insanity angle and that you're all criminally insane and should be arrested for participating in this in public and acting like this can even be a part of anyone's reality. It's not. It's not real. You're crazy people. History will look back upon this period of time as the time when the West became so rich and so fat and so comfortable that they just drove themselves to madness because, I don't know, they just ran out of other ways to entertain themselves. Because baseball games got so boring, they just decided to, let's go with the transgender thing. That looks interesting. Bunch of crazy people. Oh, by the way, the rules written by the insane maniacs who are entertaining this as if it were reality, the rules also state that athletes who transition from female to male, they're allowed to enter the male competitions without any restrictions. Why? Because everyone knows they're weaker. It's common sense. Physically weaker. That's all. Is that so bad that girls are physically weaker than boys generally? Are we not allowed to acknowledge that as reality? I guess not. Well, to acknowledge anything else is simple insanity, and I'm not going to entertain it. And any of you who do entertain any of this stuff, you're participating in a criminal act to allow some tranny to... All right. And so let's go from that. Let's get to something back to at least not physically disgusting. From the We're All Socialists Now file, federal spending programs designed to transfer income. This is from CNS News. Federal programs designed to actually transfer income from people who earned it to people who did not are set to hit a record $3.2 trillion in fiscal 2020. Yeah, that's according to the Office of Management and Budget, who keeps track of such things. The Office of Management and Budget keeps track of how much money is being robbed from productive people and given to non-productive people. Or maybe less productive people. Anyway, by the way, these federal spending designed to transfer income from me to other people is almost 70% of all federal spending. Almost 70% of government spending is the government stealing money from people like me and giving it to people who live under a bridge. 70%! In 1940, the federal government spent 2% of GDP on wealth transfers, basically stealing money and giving it to people who didn't earn it. 2%. Now it's over 15%. And everyone perceives Donald Trump as some sort of conservative. I don't get this. Wow. Payments to individuals will consume 67.9%. Almost 70% of it. It's shocking. The payments may be made. Listen to what the Office of Management and Budget says. The payments may be made in the form of cash paid directly to individuals, or they may take the form of provisions of services or the payment of bills for activities generally financed from personal income. So to translate that, these are things that normal people actually pay for. Uh-huh. The stuff that costs real money. Oh, activities generally financed from personal income, but not in this case. It's being financed from, my income. My personal income, some other person. It's all right. But and you know what? I'll just work harder and make more because, you know, that's how I am. And there's a lot of us like that, and that's why the whole calliope hasn't crashed to the ground. But well, who's really being hurt by this are people who are receiving my money for activities generally financed from what should be their personal income. They're the ones who are hurt the most by it. It destroys their life. They become dependent, slackers. All right, all this money they're stealing from us, he said, is extremely attractive. Audio engineer, just so you feel better about us and our efforts. These payments include medical care, housing, and food. Uh-huh. Those are activities generally financed from personal income.
That should be the first one.
Yeah, food should be first, right? No, I think that's in the order of how much it costs. Uh-oh. Medical care is the most, then housing, and then food. Nutrition assistance, they call it. Only a government bureaucrat would come up with that. It's It's nutrition assistance. Oh, is that what that? Well, you can think of it as food. All right. CNS closes the article with some true journalism, by the way. The people who run our government are truly record setters when it comes to taking money from one group and giving it to another, and that includes taking money from future generations and spending it on their own. Which the only issue I would take with that sentence is that it shouldn't be their own, it's our own, right? Because who elected all these criminals to government? We did, the people. So we are stealing from future generations and spending it on our own generation. The people are us. This is our fault. It's not as much my fault, because I have stood up consistently against anything like this. But apparently the majority of Americans, at least if you go by voting, haven't. They're okay with it. Now, let's go. We're running out of time. This happens at the end of every show. This is so weird. Reason number 1,214 to get your children out of the government schools. Yes, the Seattle Public Schools Ethnic Studies Advisory Committee. That sounds like a Soviet. Well, they've basically connected mathematics to a history of oppression. Yes, the committee suggests that math is subjective and racist. Did you say math? I said math. Do you mean like the new math? No, just math in general. Yeah. The committee, they asked the question, how is math manipulated to allow inequity and oppression to persist? Okay. This is definitely the sign of a civilization that is reaching the end of its usefulness. Talk about being so fat, so rich, and so successful that you go about entertaining some of this foolishness, because I don't know, have we run out of actual valuable things to do that we set up an ethnic studies advisory committee? I mean, these people could be engaged in something actually productive. But instead, they are asserting that Western mathematics, is used to disenfranchise people and communities of color. I don't think I've ever heard of Western mathematics. I thought mathematics pretty much was a universal thing, but nope. Ancient mathematical knowledge has been appropriated by Western culture. Yes, yes. Anyway, listen to this. The deadline for the final draft of the curriculum is September 1st, 2020. This is a curriculum? Oh my goodness. Surely all is lost. Seattle's ethnic studies director told Channel 5 in Seattle, quote, "The goal is to disrupt the status quo and do something different." Unquote. Okay. I'm sorry, but if there's one thing where the status quo is okay, it's math. I mean, math is the definition of the status quo. Math. All right. Meanwhile, in California, residents are getting fed up with the bums. Yeah, California prides itself on its commitments to tolerance and liberal values. But across the state of California, record levels of homelessness have spurred a backlash against those who live in the streets. Okay, could we just call them derelicts? I don't want to. They're not even homeless. They're derelicts. They're bums. And even the tolerant, beautiful people in California are getting sick of them. Yeah, they say the piles of bums and feces and needles in the streets are testing residents' tolerance and compassion. Yes, insults are even being—they're being called bums. Ho ho ho! So insults like bum has been directed against bums. Not to mention, people are beginning to throw rocks and pepper spray. They're putting up fences, potted plants, and other barriers to keep the bums off the sidewalks. Citizens are organizing patrols, vigilante style, to walk the street and push the bums out. Yes. Uh-huh. Persistent presence on the city streets of mentally ill and drug-dependent people. Uh-huh. And this is, remember, this is California, where they've spent billions of dollars, billions, billions, to supposedly help the homeless, when what they've done is they've hurt the homeless and they've enriched the leftists through all these alleged charities and organizations and committees that get set up. Anyway, it's not going to end well, folks. All right, but it is going to end at some point, and sanity will be restored. That's it for the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and at AmericanRightToLife.com. And, of course, my other brother, Darrow, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.